The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you live from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we're going to be talking with Catherine Lawrence about the healing power of laughter. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. In the news this week, some tips about the good effects of garlic, and it hasn't to do with the breath, actually. It does wonders for your linguine, but as it turns out, it also improves health. Get this, 4 or more cloves a day can lower bad cholesterol by about 9% and might even reduce the risk of colon cancer by about 30%. That's pretty hot. The downside, the breath that could wilt flowers. We've all been there. Fortunately, there are some easy antidotes, and this will surprise you. Drinking a cup of low-fat milk along with your meal can keep your breath smelling fresh, per a study in the Journal of Food Science. Turns out the proteins in milk neutralize garlic's smelly sulfur compounds. Researchers are also testing lemon juice and green tea for that same effect. As for that mint gum, well, it might help temporarily, but it's just a cover-up. So go ahead and eat that 40-clove garlic chicken. Oh, but consider washing it down with a glass of milk. Your date will thank you, and so will the chicken. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Catherine Lawrence is a lawyer, a speaker, and a humorist, and the founder and chief laughter officer, don't you love it, of Survival of the Funniest, a Toronto-based company that delivers keynotes, laughter seminars, and workshops. Welcome, Catherine, to Your Holistic Health.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Happy Friday.
Same to you, friend. Well, I know that you examine life through that humor lens, but we want to know, how and why did you first get started laughing as a career? And are you the funniest? Are you the funniest?
Well, it's not about being funny. I think it's about seeing funny, Kathy. But for me, I wasn't laughing enough. It was almost 20 years ago, and I had 3 little kids and had a big job and a very busy life, and I wasn't laughing enough. And I happened to take this sabbatical from motherhood and went to Bhutan for 3 weeks and came home and took a stand-up comedy course and did a U-turn in my career. That's kind of the trigger for me.
That's unbelievable. So you're a stand-up comedian as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, I took a stand-up comedian.
Why don't you sit down? Let's see what you're doing.
I sit
already.
Down too, a lot, and a stand on my head, but whatever.
Okay.
I laugh at myself. Lots of material.
I guess. Well, you're an authoress, and you've written a series of really fun flip chart-like little books called the Survival of the Funniest series, and they are very funny. Why do you think laughter comes from a place of confidence, and how is it that that seemingly is so holistic?
Well, my experience is the most important thing is the ability to laugh at yourself. When it's all said and done, it's so important just to be able to laugh at your own mistakes. And I've had the opportunity to go in and talk to senior people and in companies, and I think that it shows a tremendous amount of leadership to be able to laugh at your mistakes. So I do believe it comes from confidence, and it's just a really a critical aspect of laughter. The starting point is laughing at yourself.
Okay, so now visualize this. I'm in with my boss. He's giving me my performance review, and he's saying, you know, the good things. They always start out with the good things. And then some of the, room for improvement. My list is typically long. And how about it? Should I just start laughing?
Huh? Well,
that's what you said.
That could be high risk. One of the key things.
Career limiting.
I've heard career limiting. AT&T is the way it has been described, appropriate, timely, and tasteful. So I think really knowing the appropriate times and tastefully, including humor, is important. Yeah, absolutely. And
okay.
I think people work harder in their job if they're in a more humor-friendly environment where, again, at appropriate times, it can be used as an effective tool.
Absolutely.
Team building, strategic planning. I mean, it's fabulous when there's a lighter workplace.
Well, you know, it's really neat, too, that Scripture supports that. And get this, from Ecclesiastes 3:4, and I quote, "A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn mm-hmm. and a time to dance." And I think the Birds made that Scripture into a song in the 60s, didn't they? Turn, turn, turn.
There you go.
I think that's right.
Who knew?
And then we have Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed
yes.
spirit dries up the bone. So see there, we're consistent
yes.
All the way through. So you know what? You talk about laughing your head off, which I don't think you did because it still seems like it's attached. But I think you're talking about a belly laugh. And what really makes us laugh? And what are those benefits of just a really hearty laugh?
Well, what makes you laugh and what makes me laugh might be very different things, but it's all around us. And I think that when we find that deep gut belly laugh, not a laugh from the head or the chest, but that deep gut belly laugh, you go to this great place of no mind. You're just totally into that laughter. You can't be angry. You can't be thinking about anything. It releases everything. So I really believe just kind of laughing your head off, that deep gut belly laugh. Like you could even try it on the radio, Kathy.
Oh, please don't
put your hands on your abs and dig down and find that deep, hearty belly laugh. You want to try?
I'm gonna share that with self. How about that? Because I'm rather shy.
Okay.
All right, why don't you do it for us, Catherine?
Well, if any of our listeners want to, I don't know if they're standing up or sitting down, but you just take your hands and put them right on your abs and take a big breath, and definitely a smile on your face, and you just start to laugh. It's really great for every aspect of your body, I believe. So you could just sort of one, two, and then...
All right, you.
I
love it.
God. I love my work.
I know you do, and I'm not going to get through the show if I keep listening to you like that. But I have a quote. I have a quote I want to share. So let me compose myself. This is from Albert Einstein of all people.
Uh-huh.
He said, "Laughter is God's favorite music." Albert Einstein. See, he was wise. He had a big brain.
He said a lot of things about laughter, actually, and he is so wise. He said, "In my experience, the most creative work is never done when one is unhappy." So for researchers, for people who are using their mind a lot, I mean, the ability to step aside from your work for a minute and just have a great laugh, I mean, that's where your aha moments come, the genius.
Well, I wonder why they never captured him with a smile on his face, because I don't remember him
smiling. They were too busy worrying about his hair.
Yeah, his hair was wild. Can you tell me any more about research? I want to know if you're evidence-based, Catherine. Do you have any research that supports laughter?
You know, there is a lot of research out there. I personally feel like I know intuitively when you laugh, you feel better. I know laughter affects every aspect of your life. I believe it. Of course, you know, Dr. William Fry was one of the pioneers in laughter research, and he says that 100 deep belly laughs are the aerobic equivalent of 10 minutes on the rowing machine. And we all know that's good for us. I mean, there's lots of great docs and researchers out there who are, Lee Burke is another one who's been studying laughter. But at the end of the day, you know, I just know it to be true. I've experienced it.
Absolutely.
I think my body is doing better. All of us have challenge at one time or another in their lives, and I just think it's part of the healing picture. It's a critical tool for all of us to survive and thrive and have fun.
I agree. Now, I understand that you have something very cool and unique called a laughter club, and we'd like to hear more about that concept, please.
Well, I mean, Dr. Madan Kataria, based in Mumbai, he's the founder of what's known as laughter yoga, and he started all of this, and he's really a pioneer. And then Steve Wilson out of Ohio, you know, he started World Laughter Tour. There's the more the merrier. There's lots of people who are laughing more and reminding us all that we need to laugh more in our lives. You know, a number of years ago, I had a laughter club in a retirement home. It was just fabulous. It brought people out of their rooms, and many were lonely and isolated, and got together, and it enabled people to sort of laugh together. I have a secret laughter society, which of course I can't speak about because it's secret, but it's also called Skull and Funny Bones, and it's my laughter team, my close girlfriends, and so from time to time we'll meet and secretly laugh. It's a bit of a spoof on the Skull and Bones out of Yale secret society, men only.
Yeah, I got that. Just like golf, gentlemen only, ladies forbidden golf. You should have some sort of
a
golf laughter.
Golf course, so
you, please. I'm sorry.
Pardon?
Something about a golf course. What did you say?
Didn't you say golf?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I play a lot of golf.
Do you laugh when you golf?
Oh, of course. Are you kidding? It's fantastic for your golf swing.
Do the men like that?
In fact, having a rubber chicken hang off your golf bag is so important. The minute you think you're a golfer, it reaches up and grabs you. So having a good belly laugh on the course, it will relax you and you'll swing better.
Well, I think I might try that the next time. I too am a golfer. I'm looking at your book and trying to remember, flipping through here. I saw you cooking with rubber chickens in the pot. Wasn't that you that I on that picture?
Oh, that would be me, yes.
Hanging out of the pot. Now, where were you when that was taken, that picture was taken?
Oh, that was in my kitchen, and frankly, most of the food in my kitchen is artificial, so sadly for my kids, although they've done a lot of ordering in over the years. But no, the story in that one was I actually had a fabulous-looking fake turkey, which I used in a family Christmas. I dressed it up like the two real ones, and I threw it and pretended... I freaked out and hated cooking, and my in-laws all thought it was
real
until we realized that it wasn't, and nearly hit one of them and went sliding by a bunch of others. And then we had a huge laugh, and it diffused all the tension involved in cooking and Christmas and family stresses from time to time. So that was that story.
Well, you know, I can envision you on Saturday Night Live with that turkey slip sliding away, or Bill Murray, you know, receiving that turkey on a pass or some such thing. There's a movie in the making, I'm sure, here. Well, okay, so basically we have laughter yoga, which you presented to us, and that's kind of gaining momentum across the country. I love that. And laughter clubs, and then the secret things. But, you know, of course, we never were the popular crew on the inside, so we'll just have to, you know, I guess salivate and be happy for you because we can't join. You won't even talk about it.
Oh, you can join.
Okay. Well, don't feel obliged. It's okay. But I think as you feel, worry about this and you're on your guilt trip, I think this would be a really good time to take a break. So I can compose myself. Listeners, if you're just joining our show, this is a very composed Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum and Your Holistic Health. And tonight we're talking about a very funny chief laughter officer, a cook and bottle washer of fake food, Catherine Lawrence, who's an author of Survival of the Funniest. We're going to take a short break, and we hope you'll come right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician and will meet with you in person or by telephone or Skype if you're out of town. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a live broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, your host. Tonight we're speaking with Catherine Lawrence, author of Survival of the Funniest. She's pretty funny, I think, if you've been listening. But we're going to get kind of serious now, Catherine. I sense it's going to be kind of hard for you, but, you know, bear with us. Because we're an evidence-based, pretty, you know, down-to-earth show about health, for heaven's sakes. I mean...
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about stress. And mm-hmm. I think you state somewhere on your website that you feel that laughter gives us skills to embrace stress. That's a pretty profound statement. Now, tell us more about that.
Well, I mean, I think we all have stress in our life, and I think that, you know, laughter is part of the toolkit to combat stress. I think laughter is, it has been said that laughter is the shortest distance between two people. There's no question in my mind it reduces tension and brings people together. So there's lots and lots of examples of how an unexpected humorous incident or humorous moment and examples of laughter, how that has actually induced compromise and brought people together. You know, I know certainly when I was in practicing law, I had a number of cases where funny situations that popped up, and there was laughter that really triggered resolution of some problems. So absolutely, there's no question in my mind, laughter is a powerful tool to combat stress.
I love that, and I agree. In fact, I've got a nice example. May I share that with you?
Absolutely.
And our listeners? Recently, it was in my workplace in a hospital, and we were having a meeting within pharmacy, and we have a new boss who's only been with us a few short weeks, so we don't really all know each other that well yet. And we're kind of wanting to present a good front, of course, as would be expected. And he's giving us direction, and we're listening very intently and taking notes copiously and, you know, on the ceiling thinking I've got to make a good impression. And he's really serious. And then all of a sudden the new guy, says,
yeah,
well, this kind of reminds me of The Office. And then he starts breaking into a scene from The Office, a sitcom.
Perfect.
On television, and we're all on the floor. Like, you could feel the tension melt. And that was incredibly skillful of him and really spoke volumes.
Yeah, Steve Allen said, nothing is as funny as the unexpected humor of reality. And often it's the most serious boss that will, you know, do something and really surprise you. Like if it's the ham at the office, it's kind of expected. But it's that tug the rug, it's that surprise. It's just when humor is used in a clever way. It's a fabulous tool in negotiations, mediations, very wonderful skill. We should practice it.
I think so. I love it. Well, I'm so curious if you could share with me, now as a fellow stand-up comedian, I have a favorite in the business, and I bet you do too. Can you share with us who is your favorite? And don't, it's not you. It can't be you. I just want to tip you off there. I know you're tempted to say that.
Oh, hardly. Hardly.
I'm teasing.
You know, it's a tie from so many. I mean, I've always loved the observational humor of Jerry Seinfeld. And Robin Williams, to me, is just so incredibly clever. I just like to jump in his mind for a half an hour and take a ride. And I mean, there's a lot. Ellen DeGeneres has said a lot of very funny things. The way Stephen Wright plays with words, again, it just, you know, I just love it. So well, how's that?
I love it. It's my favorite is Lily Tomlin.
And
I think,
yes.
Yeah, she was. Was she on Laugh-In?
Oh,
years
was
ago,
she
is
ever?
I remember
her. Is
this
her. The party to whom I'm speaking?
Yes, Ernestine. Ernestine. I think that's
Ernestine.
In your book. Yeah. Yeah, Lily.
Oh, yeah.
Lily marches on. What an incredible talent. And, you know.
And Gilda Radner.
Gilda.
She said.
Yeah.
She talked about in the change room, you know, when the sales girl is saying, oh, that looks great on. And she says, on what? On fire?
Yeah. I do remember that. And I think also about Bob Hope.
Bob Hope.
What an incredible.
He says, I only golf in the 80s, any hotter, and
yeah.
I don't go out.
Or
Phyllis Diller. I mean, you know, she says, when I go to the beach, even the tide won't come in.
Can you blame it? I mean,
oh, she's so funny. She goes, she said, I think Phyllis Diller said, I spent 7 hours in a beauty salon. That was just for the estimate.
Do you notice how comedians live longer? Seem to live longer.
I haven't observed that actually.
Oh, well, I'm just thinking about
I'm
thinking about Bob Hope. I think he lived well into his 90s.
And anyone who has Hope as a last name.
Yes. I've often thought that there might be a connection and wondered if there is, why would we not be, you know, running toward that skill set or that you know, technique or tool that's in our toolkit given to us in the journey that we just simply have to grab and use.
Absolutely. Fasten your seatbelts.
Okay. I didn't have one on, but now that you mention. So that we can continue to get through our interview, I'm going to focus now on another aspect of your wisdom, and that is the 12-step program on becoming a laughaholic. Laughaholic. What is that?
Yes. Well, it's just my a fun way of reminding people that you don't have to wait for others to make you laugh. You can take 12 steps right away. The very first one is to laugh right now for no reason, just laugh. And, of course, the second one is to repeat the first one. And, you know, the third step in the 12-step program is to look at your laugh life. You know, how is your laugh life, Kathy? You know, are you laughing enough? How much do you laugh? Who makes you laugh? You know, the fourth step is, who's on your laughter team? It's important to surround yourself with people who make you laugh. And it's important to be aware of the power you have to make someone laugh every day, or even a stranger. Once a week, maybe, a stranger.
Yeah.
The fifth step is to laugh at yourself often. And I think that's actually such a critical one. The sixth one is, like I'm always telling people, to keep a little survival kit in one form or another handy, in your car, in your briefcase. Have a clown nose, have a little rubber chicken, have something that makes you laugh and helps to bring you out of a angry place or a serious place when you need it. The seventh one, you know, I just love that game Twister. To me, you can't be angry and have a stocking foot game on the go with your right hand on red and your left hand on green and your right foot on blue. So I always say that's the seventh step, play Twister. Start a laughter club is the eighth step. Even start with one. The ninth step is to watch what makes children laugh. I mean, they're my teachers. I just love to watch young people, and they just are so freeing. They don't have all these limitations, and they love to laugh, and they laugh a lot, and we need to laugh as much as young children do, and we need to laugh with them. The 10th step is to take a look at your workplace and examine whether you're suppressing your own urge to laugh, and try to shake it up a bit. Put a costume on one day. That might surprise some people. The 11th step is to read funny books, rent funny movies, or do whatever suits you. Go to a comedy club. Think about, you know, are you laughing enough? And if not, you know, make a change. And of course, the 12th step in the 12-step program is to repeat steps 1 through 12. So that's in a nutshell. And if you do those 12 steps, you are going to join the Survival of the Funniest Laughaholism group.
Love it. Well, years ago, there was a little toy or a little, kind of a book, a paddle. It looked like a paddle, actually, and it was a flip chart, I guess, that was intended to be used when you pulled up at the stoplight. I don't know if you would even remember these. It's been many years, probably 20 years. And one of my friends bought one of these paddles, and the intent is that each of these flipped pages has a comment. And again, don't use this while you're driving, but you can certainly use it at the stop sign. And she used to like pull out one of the sayings and plaster it to the window for the car next to us to see. And you can imagine the interchange of looks. I think it was another Saturday Night Live just waiting to happen, but I don't think that
my license plate is actually laughter, L-A-U-G-H-T-R, and I've had people knock on the window and say, thank you so much, in a traffic jam. They'll come out and say, thank you. One day I was driving behind Chill Out, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is a wellness parade, you know, and another time I was trying to merge, and it was a car that had a license plate that said Good Times, T-I-M-Z, Good Times, and they let the laughter in. So, of course, Good Times let the laughter in.
Oh, I get it. I get it.
Laughing on the road is so important because, you know, I feel that it's critical. Sometimes people hide behind the dashboard and take on other personalities, including me. So I need to remind myself.
What personality do you prefer?
Well, which personality do I prefer?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there are a lot from which to choose.
Well, once I bought a laughter license plate holder that said, honk if you love to laugh. And I was getting off the highway. I was in a really grumpy mood. And I heard this honking behind me. And I'm thinking, what's their problem? You know, and I look in the rearview mirror and I look behind and they're all laughing and pointing to the license plate. And I'd forgotten
that you had the license.
That I had this. I bought it at some humor conference, and it said, honk if you love to laugh.
That's amazing. Well, you have a profound effect on those in whom you probably least expect it, but in that moment of surprise, the element comes right back to you. It makes you laugh, so it's a full circle of life, isn't it?
It totally is. Yeah. It comes right back to you. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it.
Well, we're coming up on the final moments of our show, and I want to get a few more zingers in here, as I promised you before the show we would. I want to give another quote before the quote of the week. I think we're allowed. In your book, it's from Stephen Wright, to whom you keep referring, so he must be funny. I mean, you come well recommended. And he says, the problem with the gene pool, G-E-N-E, not J-E-A-N, but the problem with the gene pool is there's no lifeguard. I don't
exactly.
Get it. Can you?
You totally get it.
I don't get it.
Well,
you can talk to
wonderful.
Me when we're finished about it. I'm teasing. So, Catherine, tell us more about your book series and where our listeners can go to learn more about you.
Well, I've written A, B, and C, and D of these flip books, and I'm almost done E as we speak, and I love writing them, and they're just, people have given me great feedback that when someone's ill, it picks them up. They're easy to read. They're in, you know, some doctor's offices and dentist offices and that sort of thing also. And people can get them on www.survivalofthefunniest.com. That's where I live in that thing called the internet.
Awesome. And did you answer the first question? Are you the funniest?
No,
I think
I'm not.
You said
the funniest.
You're not.
I see funny.
I think you might be. I think that if there were 10 in contention, you'd be one of those 10, Catherine, because you're pretty motivating. Well, in our journey with you tonight, do you have sort of a take-home message that you'd like to leave us with?
The message is really that it's our choice. In life, things come and things happen, and it's our choice how we respond to them. And I suggest and recommend and hope people embrace the power of laughter. And it helps us all focus on what's right, what's going right in our lives, as opposed to what's wrong. And so, really, it's about being authentic and trying to find the laughter. It's out there. You know, over here, over there, funny things are everywhere. The brilliant philosopher, Dr. Seuss. That's my thought.
All right. We are 1 minute away, so I'm going to have to say thank you, thank you, thank you, and close with another quote of the week from Steve Maraboli. And I quote, if you hang out with chickens, you're going to cluck. And if you hang out with eagles, you're going to fly. So maybe the next time, Catherine, we'll talk about eagles and how we'll fly together, fly away. Please, listeners.
And how do the chickens feel about that?
I don't know, honey. Let's talk about it later.
Okay.
All right. So very quickly, our next guest on Next Edition is going to be Vince Lasorso. I'm very composed, believe me, who will talk to us about Tai Chi next week at the same time on the Next Edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings. And good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for your holistic health.